Instead of being thankful to the United States in these agreements, Iran is now feeling emboldened. As of today, we are officially putting Iran on notice. Thank you.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams. Daniel, good to see you this morning.
Good morning, Dr. Paul.
Well, good. That little clip there indicates what we will be talking about today.
Yes.
Something unusual happened. I happen to have been watching that press conference by the White House secretary, and all of a sudden they had the director or the national security advisor all of a sudden come in. It may have happened before, but I've never seen it happen, with this announcement, which obviously is very important, and it had to do with Iran. You know, we've heard the rumbles. We talk about it all the time. We think it's misleading, and we pointed out, of course, in the past, the contradiction, because we like Trump being a little bit more civil with the leader of Russia,
yeah,
and toning things down. But this is quite different, and yet it'll be interesting to see how Russia reacts to this tougher tone. But Mattis came out there, and he was pretty firm, and he has some very strong beliefs, and I think that obviously we have to assume the president is in sync with him, because he picked him and he's his advisor. So it'll be interesting to see what's happening. But of course, what we fear is this a significant escalation of the tensions. And of course, is it necessary? Is it wise? And what kind of unintended consequences might occur from this?
It was an extremely strong statement. General Michael Flynn, apparently, according to press reports, the original statement was even more harsh, and he had to be calmed down by Mad Dog Mattis.
Wow.
So that tells you how tough it is. But it's clearly putting Iran on notice is a very clear statement. But it's interesting, we can get into this a little later, but when you dig into his rationale, there are two main reasons to justify his putting Iran on notice. Both of those are false. Both of those are bogus reasons, and we can go into why in a minute. But it certainly is ratcheting things up significantly. The President Trump today said he stood by Flynn's comments on Iran, so it's clear that things are changing.
Well, I think when I hear statements like this, and of course we've gone over the history of Flynn as well as Mattis, and things that we studied made us be very cautious and a little bit worried about it. But in reviewing that a little bit, on Flynn had written a book not too many years ago, and he made a couple significant points. You know, the enemy was global war on terrorism. Of course, our interpretation is different than theirs, but the neocons and the super neocons,
yeah,
they have their idea. And the only way it can be stopped is through militarism. Kill them all, go wherever they are, and there has to be a full military success from this. So we can understand what they're talking about. But the other thing that he talked about in his book was there has to be, you know, no arguments in the administration. Not only do we have the president, but we must have one advisor. He can't hear noise coming from different generals and different places, no discussion, and we have to have one advisor. I just wonder whether he thinks he might be in line for being the chief advisor. And the other thing he warned is that it's going to cost a lot. And there's a lot of way you can measure costs. You measure costs on the money cost and lives lost, and also the economic consequences here at home when you're spending money like crazy. So these are not new ideas. They're there. And now it looks like, you know, people who love what Trump is doing and question nothing, they'll say, he's only fulfilling his promises, and that's what we love about him. Well, you know, the good promises I like, the bad ones I don't like, and changing his mind, which he's quite capable of doing. But this, I think, is very serious. I predict that we, just by following current events, will be talking about this for a while longer.
And I think General Flynn is obsessed with Iran, like the neocons were obsessed with Iraq in the early 2000s. I think it's very similar. It goes beyond all rational, all reasoning. It's well known how Flynn feels about Iran, how obsessed he is. We can go back over a couple of things. First of all, remember after the Benghazi attack in 2012, the New York Times reported that he was pressuring the analysts at the DIA to find a link to Iran. We know that Iran's behind it. You got to find a link. And this is exactly what happened, if you remember, after 9/11, when the neocons in the Defense Department pressured the analysts, find a link to Iraq. Remember, we even had a general, a two-star at one of our lunches, right, who told us some of the stuff that was happening behind the scenes. And he had drawn up plans for a retaliation against Afghanistan, remember? And the neocons said, what are you talking about, Afghanistan? We're going into Iraq. This is exactly what Flynn's doing.
Right. You know, the obsession term is correct. They seem to be obsessed, which means or implies, you know, a little irrationality on why they're doing this. But, you know, the obsession is with Iran, but also equally so with Saudi Arabia. Mm. You can't talk about Iran without talking about Saudi Arabia. And that's where the administration, the previous administration and current administration really get off track. It's all Iran's fault. You know, the defenders of the homeland against the invaders, the Saudis, you know, are the enemy, and we have to take care of them. But just think of the pressure now, on the people who disagree with anything the Saudis do. But fortunately, more people are understanding the Saudis aren't our best allies. And that's why, you know, a non-interventionist, more neutral foreign policy would be much better. But to sort it out and say, we have to defend Saudi Arabia because we've been doing it since World War II, and it has to do with oil and all these other things. So it's much broader than that, but it is also involved with Sunnis versus Shia. And, of course, it gets a little more complex when you try to work the Russian factor into this. This is where it gets very interesting.
Probably the most important bright spot in what Trump had been saying in his campaign and even as president was we want to get along with Russia. Well, starting a war with Iran is not the way to do that. No. It's not a good way to do that. But we also have to factor in, you know, Saudi Arabia is very important. The Saudis were involved in 9/11, yet they're not on the list of countries with a temporary halt in visas. But the other you have to say is Israel, because Netanyahu has been obsessed with taking down Iran. So these are our two strongest and closest allies in the Middle East, and almost appears that we're doing their bidding with the saber rattling.
You know, I think it'd be interesting for me at least to refresh the history of where Flynn was before they went into Iraq. Now, Flynn and his cronies say, oh, we should have never gone in. It was a bad deal to go into Iraq. We should have always been hitting Iran. But we know where Israel was on the attack on Iraq, because they saw Saddam Hussein. He's a nut. He's crazy. Yet Saddam Hussein turned out, when you look back, he was sort of a help to the Israeli. We destabled, you know, they talk about Iran destabilizing and everything, but we go in there and destabilized Iraq, and guess what? You know, it's still going on. We destabilized, we continue to destabilize after what the Soviets did, Afghanistan, but we destabilized it, and guess what? Iraq is a much closer ally to the Iranians. Yeah. Oh, the Iranians are getting more powerful, and they're causing all this trouble, and they're causing the destabilization. But from my understanding, in the history of Iran, they're not necessarily looking to compete with the United States on developing an empire. I think they want to protect their interests, which is very logical. But you mentioned just earlier on a little bit about what they get accused of on the violations, you know, on the treaties, and whether or not they really are. Because I think if you go out on the street or talk to 99% of the average conservative, he'll say, yeah, that's true, Ron, we don't want to do it. But this is different. These people are ready to kill us, and they're ready to launch weapons, and they don't give any credit to the fact that I sincerely believe that the Iranians right now are far removed from a nuclear weapon, much further than before, and the inspections that are done indicate that they haven't really violated it. And like you said, even the missile has been a legitimate effort under the treaty.
Yeah, and this is the most important thing, because Flynn had two justifications for putting Iran on notice. And both of those are simply not based in facts. The first is that Iran tested a ballistic missile. We know that happened over the weekend, and that was a violation of the treaty. The second one was that the Houthis in Yemen fired on a Saudi naval ship. And because the Houthis are Iranian proxies, that means Iran was firing on a ship. Well, both of these are wrong, and I'll briefly tell you why. First of all, there was an legal analysis on the Brookings website from 2015 analyzing the Iran deal. And, you know, it gets a little esoteric, but it's very important because we remember this from legislation on the Hill. There are whereas clauses, and then there are operative clauses. Well, there are 12 legally binding decisions in the agreement that bind the parties to do certain things. And there are other sections where it calls upon, which is a suggestion. It's a strong suggestion. It urges. but it is not legally binding. The areas where it talks about testing ballistic missiles fall under the calls upon rather than the decisions. Part of the reason you had these two things is because the U.S. wanted to have many things under the decisions because they didn't want to be bound to do things like raise, you know. So it was sort of hoist on their own petard. The other part, quickly, on Iran having the Houthis as their proxy. Even the National Security Council, the intelligence community in 2015 said, quote, "It remains our assessment that Iran does not exert command and control over the Houthis in Yemen." So unless that has changed, and if that has changed, they should let us know exactly why. Unless that has changed, he is wrong on both counts. So he's blowing smoke.
And, of course, the first bombing that was under the new administration killed an American soldier in Yemen. So we're there. We have boots on the ground. Our CIA is there. Our special forces are there. But there's, what, estimated well over 10,000 people have been killed in this war. And they still want to say the Iranians are responsible for most of this, and because there's no proof that they really control the Houthis, but they might be sympathetic. But guess who's responsible? It's those people from the Saudi Arabia. They're the ones. They've been attacking a neighbor country. They've been bombing it. Who's paying for it? Whose bombs are they? And it's the United States. And this to me is it needs to be exposed. It's just a shame that you will never hear this on our evening news. It's always going to be scare people to death. The Iraqis are coming. Saudi Arabia is going to get us. He has weapons of mass destruction, and he's going to bomb United States. It's the same thing with the Iranians. It's way blown out of proportion. At the same time, we've said it so many times, why not, if they're going to criticize and they want to be interventionist, why wouldn't there be a slight temptation for somebody to have it a little bit more balanced? And so, well, maybe the Saudis are contributing to some of this unnecessary fighting in this war, and why should we just join in and go along with anything they say? This whole idea that the Iranians were responsible for the incident in Benghazi, you know, it just goes on and on. I just think that it looks like it can get worse. And that bothers me, because what happens if they look tough? Now, the odds of the Iranian people or the Iranian government really wanting a hot war with the United States, that's insane. They don't want that, but they still have a little bit of pride about not being pushed around totally and completely and blamed for things and blamed for violating treaties that they are not violating. I think people need to sort this out.
Yeah, and I think if people just stop for a second to think about what Flynn said, you know, Saudi Arabia has been attacking Yemen for at least 2 years now, bombing Yemen. Yemen fired back on a Saudi ship. And so Flynn blames Iran, a third country completely removed. If you just stop for a second and think of how completely crazy that is, it's not crazy if you think about how these people work, which is you find a target, and no matter what happens, everything points to that target.
Yeah, and the escalation is going to be much more tempting because so much is done with drones. You know, it's not like everything had to be done with a tank, and you had to march in, and you literally had to have a lot of boots on the ground. But, you know, there was a story the other day where the rebels, the so-called bad guys, the terrorists, have some drones too. What is this going to be like when they become very prevalent? And it goes back and forth. One day there's going to be some people get very annoyed with all this, and I can't see it calming down. And back to, and we're going to close here in a minute, but I want to go back to those three things that Mathis Flynn said in his book, because it goes along with a lot of what Trump says. You know, we have to have a military victory. And that's the war on terrorism. You have to find them and you have to kill them. They use the word kill. You have to kill them all, no matter where they are. And to me, that's an ideological statement. You know, there's a resistance, there's radicalism, and I've made the analogy to communism. When we wanted to defeat communism, which we did, we didn't say, well, we have to go out and physically kill every communist. They defeated themselves because it was a failed philosophy. So, no, that can't work. And then the other thing is that he wants one person advising. I think maybe having two or three people advising a president wouldn't be the worst idea. And he's already warned, you can't do it on the cheap. And already, even before the election, we're going to spend a lot more money on the military. And most Americans say, yeah, we have to be strong. They've been intimidated, not realizing that military spending has absolutely nothing to do with defense. It has to do with undermining our defense, because all it does is make more enemies. So these people get killed, and there's always going to be dozens and dozens of family members that become more hateful to us. And that is where I think our real tragedy is.
Indeed. And, you know, they criticized the last administration for not being bold enough. But this botched raid in Yemen, where scores of women and children were killed, an American commando was killed, it was a botched raid because they wanted to look bolder. And this may be an example of why you shouldn't be so bold.
You know, and the fact that this one military, U.S. military officer was killed, instead of for them to back off and say, hey, this could be expensive, I think it's going to motivate them to be more bold. And I think that's why we heard from Flynn yesterday. And to me, it's very, very scary. And I think if the American people are complacent and they go along with it and say, well, this is what the election decided. The election wants us to be bold. In a way, though, the American people, voted to say there should be no intervention, and that is nation building. Well, this might not be exactly what is thought of as nation building, but we are super interventionists, and we are going to be over there a long time. We're going to spend a lot of money, and we're going to continue to undermine, you know, our national security in this method, in this procedure of the foreign policy, what we have now. And that is why I have a great deal of concern. And eventually, we're going to suffer from it. Just as the Soviet system did not have to be defeated by the West, we didn't have to fight them, we didn't have to have a nuclear war, they defeated themselves. We ought to look at what we're doing here at home on our civil liberties. We ought to look here at home what we're doing to our financial situation. And I think it's much more dire than is proposed. People got a little bit euphoric. Trump was elected. The stock market skyrocketed. Good news. The taxes were going down and regulations were gone. Now we hear the taxes might not go down until 2018. So I think that and the spending is going to continue, and there's always a burden. It has to be monetized, which means the Federal Reserve is going to print this, and it's going to compound, our economic system here. So this is important stuff. You can't separate the two. I remember one time in a presidential debate, they said, well, last week we talked about economic policy, and this week we're going to talk about foreign policy. You can't separate the two. Foreign policy has a lot to do with economic policy, and economic policy also affects foreign policy too. And economic policy eventually brings about the failure of an aggressive foreign policy. So anyway, I want to thank everybody for tuning in today, and stay tuned, because we'll be talking about this issue. And I think we have to be very vigilant of this war that so many members in the administration want to precipitate. Oh yeah, they say, oh no, well, we just want to discipline and make them behave and do as we tell them. Well, sometimes people don't like that. So I still argue the case for non-interventionists, a strong national defense, mind our own business and free trade, and get along with people the best you can. I'll tell you what, that's a much better road to follow to look for peace and prosperity throughout the world. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.